Well, last evening Dorothy called up, and Dorothy said she has met a gentleman who gave himself an introduction to her in the lobby of the Ritz. So then they went to luncheon and tea and dinner, and then they went to a show, and then they went to the Trocadero. So Dorothy said his name was Lord Cooksley, but what she really calls him is Cuckoo. So Dorothy said, "Why don't you and I and Cuckoo go to the Follies tonight, and bring Gus along if he is in town?" So then Dorothy and I had quite a little quarrel, because every time that Dorothy mentions the subject of Mr. Iceman, she calls Mr. Iceman by his first name, and she does not seem to realize that when a gentleman who is as important as Mr. Iceman spends quite a lot of money educating a girl, it really does not show reverence to call a gentleman by his first name. I mean, I never even think of calling Mr. Iceman by his first name, but if I want to call him anything at all, I call him Daddy, and I do not even call him Daddy if a place seems to be public. So I told Dorothy that Mr. Iceman would not be in town until day after tomorrow. So then Dorothy and Cuckoo came up, and we went to the Follies. So this morning Cuckoo called up, and he wanted me to luncheon at the Ritz. I mean, these foreigners really have quite a nerve. Just because Cuckoo is an Englishman and a lord, he thinks a girl can waste hours on him just for a luncheon at the Ritz, when all he does is talk about some exposition he went on to a place called Tibet. And after talking for hours, I found out that all they were was a lot of Chinamen. So I will be quite glad to see Mr. Iceman when he gets in, because he always has something quite interesting to talk about. As, for instance, the last time he was here, he presented me with quite a beautiful emerald bracelet. So next week is my birthday, and he always has some delightful surprise on holidays. I did intend to luncheon at the Ritz with Dorothy today, and of course Cuckoo had to spoil it, as I told him that I could not luncheon with him today because my brother was in town on business and had the mumps, so I really could not leave him alone. Because, of course, if I went to the Ritz now, I would bump into Cuckoo. But I sometimes almost have to smile at my own imagination, because, of course, I have not got any brother, and I have not even thought of the mumps for years. I mean, it is no wonder that I can write. So, the reason I thought I would take luncheon at the Ritz was because Mr. Chaplin is at the Ritz, and I always like to renew old acquaintances, because I met Mr. Chaplin once when we were both working on the same lot in Hollywood, and I am sure he would remember me. Gentlemen always seem to remember blondes. I mean, the only career I would like to be besides an authoress is a cinema star, and I was doing quite well in the cinema when Mr. Iceman made me give it all up. Because, of course, when a gentleman takes such a friendly interest in educating a girl as Mr. Iceman does, you like to show that you appreciate it, and he is against a girl being in the cinema because his mother is orthodox. March 20th. Mr. Iceman gets in tomorrow to be here in time for my birthday, so I thought it would really be delightful to have at least one good time before Mr. Iceman got in, so last evening I had some literary gentlemen in to spend the evening, because Mr. Iceman always likes me to have literary people in and out of the apartment. I mean, he is quite anxious for a girl to improve her mind, and his greatest interest in me is because I always seem to want to improve my mind and not waste any time. And Mr. Iceman likes me to have what the French people call a salon, which means that people all get together in the evening and improve their minds. So I invited all of the brainy gentlemen I could think up. So I thought up a gentleman who is the professor of all of the economics up at Columbia College, and the editor who is the famous editor of the New York Transcript, and another gentleman who is a famous playwright who writes very, very famous plays that are all about life. I mean, anybody would recognize his name, but it always seems to slip my memory because all of we real friends of his only call him Sam. So Sam asked if he could bring a gentleman who writes novels from England. So I said yes, so he brought him. And then we all got together, and I called up Gloria and Dorothy, and the gentlemen brought their own liquor. So, of course, the place was a wreck this morning, and Lulu and I worked like proverbial dogs to get it cleaned up. But heaven knows how long it will take to get the chandelier fixed. March 22nd. Well, my birthday has come and gone, but it was really quite depressing. I mean, it seems to me a gentleman who has a friendly interest in educating a girl like Gus Eisman would want her to have the biggest square-cut diamond in New York. I mean, I must say I was quite disappointed when he came to the apartment with a little thing you could hardly see. So I told him I thought it was quite cute, but I had quite a headache, and I had better stay in a dark room all day. And I told him I would see him the next day, perhaps. Because even Lulu thought it was quite small. And she said if she was I, she really would do something definite. And she said she always believed in the old adage, leave them while you're looking good. But he came in at dinner time, with really a very, very beautiful bracelet of square-cut diamonds, so I was quite cheered up. So then we had dinner at the Colony, and we went to a show and supper at the Trocadero, as usual, whenever he is in town. But I will give him credit that he realized how small it was. I mean, he kept talking about how bad business was, and the button profession was full of Bolsheviks who make nothing but trouble. Because Mr. Eisman feels that the country is really on the verge of the Bolsheviks, and I become quite worried. I mean, if the Bolsheviks do get in, there is only one gentleman who could handle them, and that is Mr. D.W. Griffith. Because I will never forget when Mr. Griffith was directing Intolerance. I mean, it was my last cinema just before Mr. Eisman made me give up my career, and I was playing one of the girls that fainted at the battle when all of the gentlemen fell off the tower. And when I saw how Mr. Griffith handled all of those mobs in Intolerance, I realized that he could do anything. And I really think that the government of America ought to tell Mr. Griffith to get all ready if the Bolsheviks start to do it. Well, I forgot to mention that the English gentleman who writes novels seems to have taken quite an interest in me as soon as he found out that I was literary. I mean, he has called up every day, and I went to tea twice with him. So he has sent me a whole complete set of books for my birthday by a gentleman called Mr. Conrad. They all seem to be about ocean travel, although I have not had time to more than glance through them. I have always liked novels about ocean travel ever since I posed for Mr. Christie for the front cover of a novel about ocean travel by McGrath, because I always say that a girl never really looks as well as she does on board a steamship, or even a yacht. So, the English gentleman's name is Mr. Gerald Lamson, as those who have read his novels would know. And he also sent me some of his own novels, and they all seem to be about middle-aged English gentlemen who live in the country over in London and seem to ride bicycles, which seems quite different from America, except at Palm Beach. So I told Mr. Lamson how I write down all of my thoughts, and he said he knew I had something to me from the first minute he saw me, and when we become better acquainted, I'm going to let him read my diary. I mean, I even told Mr. Eisman about him, and he is quite pleased, because, of course, Mr. Lamson is quite famous, and it seems Mr. Eisman has read all of his novels going to and fro on the trains, and Mr. Eisman is always anxious to meet famous people and take them to the Ritz to dinner on Saturday night. But, of course, I did not tell Mr. Eisman that I am really getting quite a little crush on Mr. Lamson, which I really believe I am. But Mr. Eisman thinks my interest in him is more literary. March 30th. At last Mr. Eisman has left on the 20th century, and I must say I am quite fatigued, and a little rest will be quite welcome. I mean, I do not mind staying out late every night if I dance, but Mr. Eisman is really not such a good dancer, so most of the time we just sit and drink some champagne or have a bite to eat, and of course I do not dance with anyone else when I am out with Mr. Eisman. But Mr. Eisman and Jerry, as Mr. Lamson wants me to call him, became quite good friends, and we had several evenings all three together. So now that Mr. Eisman is out of town at last, Jerry and I are going out together this evening, and Jerry said not to dress up, because Jerry seems to like me more for my soul. So I really had to tell Jerry that if all the gentlemen were like he seems to be, Madame Francis's whole dressmaking establishment would have to go out of business. But Jerry does not like a girl to be nothing else but a doll. But he likes her to bring in her husband's slippers every evening and make him forget what he has gone through. But before Mr. Eisman went to Chicago, he told me...